Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everyone. On behalf of AgriLinks, Feed the Future, and the USAID Fall Armyworm Task Force, I would like to welcome you to today's webinar on technologies for managing fall armyworm. This is the first in a three-part webinar series on three consecutive Wednesdays, and we hope you will register for the other webinars as well, which will cover a suite of dissemination tools next week and the essential issue of pesticide use to combat this pest in 2 weeks. And you can find links to those webinars in the box at the bottom left of your screen, and we'll also make sure to highlight those in the chat box. So my name is Julie McCarty, and I'm a Knowledge Management and Learning Specialist with the USAID Bureau for Food Security, and I'll be your webinar facilitator today. So you'll hear my voice periodically session at the end. Before we dive into the content, I'd like to go over just a couple of items to orient you to the webinar. First, please use the chat box to introduce yourself, which many of you have done already, and let us know where you're joining from. The chat box is your main way to communicate today, and we encourage you to use it liberally to post your questions at any point, to share resources, and to discuss this topic with your colleagues. We'll be collecting your questions throughout the webinar, and we'll answer some of them along the way, and the rest will hold till after the presentations. You'll see that there are several key resources available for download in the downloads box on the left of your screen if you'd like to grab a copy. And all of these resources are also posted on AgriLinks on our Fall Armyworm resources page. Lastly, we are recording this webinar and we'll email you the recording, transcript, and some additional resources once they're ready. And those will also be posted on AgriLinks. Okay, to bridge into the content, I am going to pull up two poll questions that we had just a couple minutes ago at the beginning as you were joining and reveal the answers to kind of get us rolling into the fall armyworm content. So just a moment, we are pulling these up. Okay. The first question is, to test your knowledge of how fall armyworm affects which crops? And to reveal the answer, for the first question, it is actually more than 80 different crops, including grasses, so quite a pervasive pest. And for the second question, what is the economic value in USD of crops damaged by the fall armyworm annually? And it's actually $6 billion, which is a crazy answer. I see most people selected $260 million. That was actually my guess. But $6 billion is the correct answer. All right, we're going to go ahead and hide these poll questions again. And next, I will be bridging into our speakers. So I'm going to introduce our initial speaker, who will be giving an introduction, and then he will introduce our further speakers. So I would like to pass the microphone on to Brian Conklin, who is a senior ag advisor for the Fall Armyworm team at USAID. And he'll be giving an introduction to the topic and to our speakers. Brian?
On the fall armyworm. Great. Did everybody hear that introduction? It sounds like my microphone was just turned on. I want to welcome everybody to the first of three webinars dealing with the fall armyworm. This first webinar this morning is going to highlight key agricultural technologies that can be used to control the fall armyworm. Our session will also revisit a recent study tour in Brazil where African policymakers had the opportunity to see the impact of these technologies firsthand. Brazil's story is one of agricultural transformation. Fall armyworm is the number one pest confronting farmers of Brazil. And yet, despite this challenge, Brazil has increased its productivity fourfold in the last 40 years and is set to take over U.S. maize production in the next 3 years. Brazil's agricultural transformation and access to innovative technology came about through key changes in its legal and regulatory environment. These changes opened the door for private sector investment and the technologies that followed. And so policy leadership is critical if these technologies are going to be available in African countries. And I think that's the gist of where we're leading in today's webinar. We want to highlight these technologies. You'll be able to see the advantages. You'll be able to see the weaknesses to some of the technologies. But you have to realize that none of these technologies are going to be available if there isn't a press to making open and transparent changes within the enabling environment for private sector investment. Our first speaker this morning is Dr. Joe Husing. Dr. Husing is USAID's lead scientist and entomologist for the fall armyworm team here in Washington. And he's going to be highlighting this list of technologies being used to address the fall armyworm, all within an integrated pest management framework. Our second speaker will be from Embrapa. Embrapa is Brazil's premier research organization. Dr. Antonio Pacino is a scientist and director of Embrapa Maize and Sorghum. And Dr. Pacino will highlight Brazil's policy leadership and investments in research that have helped them deal effectively with the fall armyworm. These presentations and resources highlighted in the webinar today are going to be available and posted on the AgriLinks website, along with resources that will be highlighted in our webinar a week from today. And so we're going to encourage you to tune in for the next two Wednesdays for webinars that are focusing on fall armyworm and tools that will help you deal with these with this pest effectively. Thank you again for joining us this morning. And with that, I will turn things over to Dr. Husek. All right, on to you, Joe.
Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. What we're going to do this morning is two things. First, I really want to review a little bit about what we have been doing to build the response. It'll be a little bit of review, but each time that we have these discussions, we dig a little deeper into the response, and then also outline for you where we are in terms of building the toolkit. I want to remind everyone that a group of international experts, including a lot of African scientists, U.S. land-grant university scientists, put together the Fall Armyworm in Africa IPM Technical Guide. Follow the guide. This is a doctrine for the U.S. government response to the fall armyworm. And really, the story is twofold. It's one of mitigation. That's the tools we're going to discuss, but it's also one of transformation. Because what we've come to appreciate, especially the agronomists in the room, that we probably should do a better job with our smallholder farmers in teaching them basic agronomic practices. Our response is based on integrated pest management, and this is the IPM triangle. This triangle should be your framework. I'm going to use a pointer here. I hope some of you can see it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The triangle is not prescriptive in the sense that where each of these pieces belong, but what helps frame the triangle is what we call your protection goal. So for low-resource farmers, commercial farmers in Africa, the protection goal is maize grain. That's what we want to protect. Therefore, it makes logical sense that the basis of the response to this pest is host plant resistance. And I'll remind everyone that host plant resistance includes both conventional breeding as well as biotech solutions. In the Americas, Brazil and North America, over 85% of farmers choose biotech as their response to this and other pests. Another important component of the integrated pest management triangle are cultural controls. Sometimes we also call this landscape agriculture. If farmers don't choose the right genetics, if they don't adjust the pH of their soil, if they don't use fertilizer, they're going to have a very difficult time controlling this pest. Another important component of the IPM response, and my screen is frozen here. Okay, is biocontrol. And these are things like ants and little wasps that also attack the fall armyworm and suppress those populations. So in many instances, you don't have to go to the final solution, which is typically a pesticide treatment. My screen is frozen. Okay. So I want to remind everyone that integrated pest management is really about economics. Some of you have seen this slide before, and you'll see across the bottom in that slide is time. That's the time that a pest population can build. And then across the vertical axis is the number of pests. So you can kind of see that little sort of wavy line. What that suggests is that pest populations build throughout the season, and there will come a point called the EIL, the economic injury level, where the loss in grain or the loss in yield is equal to the treatment. Let's say you lose $10 to the pest. If a treatment costs $10, that's a break-even point. If you wait until that point to treat or to do something, you'll be too slow. And so we have this concept known as the economic threshold. That's the point you need to act. In Africa, that can be a real challenge. It may be as much as a week before you can come in and treat for this pest. I also want to remind everyone that doing nothing is also an option, but doing nothing also has a cost. The key to this campaign is to scout your field. Scout, assess, decide. Scout, assess, decide. If you look on the left where it says pre-scouting, there are a number of things that you have to do prior to assessing your field that can set you up for success. And again, these are things like the agronomics, fertilizer, et cetera, choosing the right germplasm, host plant resistance, using the right and appropriate type of landscape management. Dr. Antonio will talk to you at length about that and how Brazil has done that, and then also these biocontrol options. You've planted your field, you've done everything you can, and now you go out every week and you check your field, you look for this pest. And there's going to be one of two things that happens. Either you don't have a pest problem or you do. Now you've got to decide to do something. This is your economic threshold, your economic injury level. And typically the way that the response is written is you would spray a pesticide. Remember, the way we're setting up integrated pest management to be used correctly is we don't want to spray. So we want to take every opportunity to decide not to spray. But at the end of the day, many people will have to. Much of the rest of the seminar, or a good part of it, will be talking about those tools. Pesticides is a big one. But also mechanical controls and biocontrols are also other things that can be used. Please don't be confused by the use of the word biocontrol in two different places here. I'll explain that in just a minute. The next slide, please. This is a technology table that we're building. It will be evergreen. This is not the last version of this that you will see. I'm just going to quickly walk you through this so that you can make sense of it. On the far left column are the technologies, host plant resistance, which I've mentioned, and then the technologies are further broken down where there's additional choices. So there's conventional resistance and GMAs, for example. And then there's your chemistries, your biopesticides, botanicals such as neem and others, biocontrol and landscape management. In the next column, we outline efficacy. This is just a relative scale of the efficacy. Four is the best. GM crops will completely control this pest. Other solutions will work as well, but not quite as well. We then talk about safety, and throughout the table, we'll use a combination of colors. Green means you can rock and roll. Yellow means you need to be a little careful there's some issues you need to address. And then red's a watch out. So for conventional pesticides, personal protective equipment is important. We then have a set of columns on cost. And I think that's self-explanatory. And as Brian mentioned, that final big block there, needs prior to implementation are largely around things like infrastructure and policy. So, for example, GM crops, even though that's the major way that farmers in the Americas control the pest, is an issue in Africa because policy needs to be addressed. Likewise, that's also an issue, although not as great with pesticides. Next slide, please. What I want to do is maybe talk about two or three of these tools just to kind of walk you through the kind of decision process you'll use as a practitioner. This is host plant resistance, conventional and genetically modified. There is a lot of good germplasm out there with decent resistance against the fall armyworm. It can be effective, and it's very safe to use. The farmer just puts a seed in the ground, essentially. Some of the constraints, however, are that these technologies are largely in hybrid maize, and they're regulated. These are regulated articles of commerce. Even conventional seeds are regulated. And so, again, the policy issue is a big one here. Next slide, please. I want to talk about two different types of biocontrol. There's natural and there's augmentative. And so a natural type of biocontrol is what you see here. These are all the good, what they call the so-called good guys, ants and ladybird beetles and things that will feed on fall armyworm. But, of course, every technology has its ups and its downs. The ups on this is that they do feed on fall armyworm. The bad side is they feed on everything. The good predator insects will also feed on other predators. They tend to only be really effective when pest populations are high. They're also very hard to predict in terms of their efficacy. Next slide, please. Biocontrol can also be used almost like a pesticide. This is an example that Brazil uses as Trichogramma. This is this little tiny wasp that gets onto eggs. The fall armyworm and stings it and effectively kills it. And these are released inundatively, weekly. They're raised in what is called a biofactory, and they're taken to the field. The timing is pretty critical for their use. Now, the constraint to that, of course, is you have to have a biofactory. These are also regulated, and there's a lot of infrastructure in terms of perhaps getting these to the field. So, again, this is another consideration that you need to make. Next slide, please. The biggest part of this response, as you might guess, in the absence of conventional or GM technologies, are pesticides. And the key things that we have to address here are the active ingredient, what you're spraying is important, all homeowners know this, efficacy, hazard and exposure, how poisonous is it, and will I be exposed to it? Quality is a big issue across the continent, fraud, as well as cost. And I kind of like just broke this into maybe three categories. The first are the synthetics. There's some very, very good tech, new chemistries coming out. For Tenzidua is one. Uphold is a misspelling. There is another. These are primarily based on biopesticide-type formulations, as well as with other formulations that will make them very effective. There are botanicals. You all know of these. Neem is probably the biggest one that's used. Just remember, neem is based on an active ingredient, azadirachtin. If people brew this up on their farm, you don't know what the level of the of that active ingredient is. There are others that are being used, such as tephrosia. Just recall, even though this is a natural pesticide, it does kill fish. It's very toxic to fish. And finally, there are several good biopesticides that are available, and this is something that we're working on right now with policymakers. Next slide, please. Where we're at in this campaign, one before that, where we're at in this campaign right now with the pesticides is we're at the risk assessment and field data stage, where we've gone in and we've looked, and we're doing this work in conjunction with USDA FAS, as well as University of Oregon, University of Florida, where fall armyworm is endemic, as well as our own BEOs and MEOs in the Bureau. We've looked at 61 pesticides that are recommended against fall armyworm. We've identified 8 already that are highly hazardous. We want those to go away. We're working with policymakers on that. We've got another bucket that have a high risk to either aquatic life, wildlife, pollinators, or biocontrol agents. We want to limit their use. We've scaled this bucket down to 10 to 15 that are lower risk for especially low-resource farmers. And finally, what we're trying to come up with is this list of 6 to 10 efficacious, low-risk pesticides that farmers can use. And remember, for our clientele, Africa has a lot of very good commercial farmers. It has a whole lot of low-resource farmers that don't have protective equipment. They don't have training. And this is a bucket of materials we want to use for them. So in conclusion, last slide, please. Follow the pest management guide. There are a lot of guides out there. This is a guide that's our official doctrine. All of our supporting material, pest management decision guides, et cetera, that will be talked about next in a week or so or two, are drawn from this. A lot of other guides look similar. Don't be fooled. This is a real deal. Follow the IPM triangle. It's the key. This is about scouting and economics. Get out in your field early and often, and technologies are the key. Am I supposed to now introduce Dr. Antonio?
You can pass it to Brian.
Okay, Brian, yes. I'm going to pass it
I'm
back over
to
you now to hand off to Dr. Antonio. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very much, Joe. We appreciate the presentation. And I just want to remind everybody that the field guide that Joe was referring to is on the AgriLinks website. Joe's presentation, and especially that technology table that Joe put up there that was very difficult to see, will be available as well. So we're going to make these resources available. We'll be highlighting in depth some of these resources next week. Let me turn the conversation over to Dr. Antonio Procino, the head of EMBRAPA's maize and sorghum unit, and he's going to highlight how some of these technologies have brought about Brazil's transformation, as well as some of the key policies and resources that led to that transformation. Dr. Antonio?
Yes, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our webinar. and I'm going to talk about corn production in Brazil over the last 4 years and what has happened in Brazil during this period of time with increased crop production, although we have had all along the way several the presence of several insect pests, including fall armyworm. The reason for this conference is that fall armyworm was recently found in Africa, and a lot of people are concerned with the presence of fall armyworm in African agriculture. What I would like to mention is that fall armyworm has been in Brazil for many, many, many years, and although it has been here with several other insect pests, Brazil has been able to change from a backward technology agriculture to a modern country producing its own food and excess food and produced to export. My next slide, please. Can I have my next slide, please?
Certainly, Antonio.
Okay, this is
you can
drop.
Say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you can either say next
okay,
slide.
Okay. Now I can go here.
Or
yes.
Adjust them yourself.
This is Embrapa maize and sorghum, which is also 40 years old. And it represents the changes that were made in Brazil concerning agriculture. Brazil is an agricultural country. And 4 years ago, we were importing food. We were not able to produce our own food. And the decision was made by our policymakers to invest in agriculture research and training our scientists. Most of our scientists were trained abroad. And they, upon returning to Brazil, they began to develop tropical agriculture adapted to Brazilian conditions. And in this slide, you see a small farm in Brazil several years ago. You see a crop which it's going to have low yields, very few people working on it, and no machinery, and the yields were very low. If this picture is from the 70s, this crop would yield no more than 2 tons per hectare. So Brazil began to invest in technology and capacity building. This is very important. So we could make the revolutions that we made in terms of crop production. There are two pictures of modern agriculture in Brazil. You can see here, it's first thing that we did was to construct soil fertility and been able to develop new genetic resources, new cultivars, and to control pests, including fall armyworm. So we increased our crop yields and crop production by several fold. And as a result of that, the cost of the basket food decreased by 50%. So families in Brazil from the 70s to the 2018 are now spending much less money for buying food than they used to have to spend 20 years ago. So they have more money for other applications. So they have more money for education, for housing, for house care. So it was a vision to invest in technology, develop public policies, and to incentivize increased crop production in Brazil. And we changed from a food importing country to a food exporting country. And here you have some figures about corn production in the world. Last year we produced over 1,000 metric tons of corn. Of course, the USA is the number one, 370 million tons of corn. China is the second, 215 million tons, metric tons of corn. But again, the U.S. is a net exporter of corn, 50 million tons per year. And China is not. But China is a buyer of corn. And here you see Brazil with 88 million metric tons. And we have, years before, we had produced over 100 million metric tons of corn, which make us now the third producer in terms of corn and the second corn export. So this is a big change from the 80s. And again, fall armyworm was here all along. And we developed the technology to control these insect pests, and Joe mentioned about several of these technologies that were developed or introduced into Brazil. Here in Brazil, corn is not used for food, for human nutrition. It's mostly used for feed. And 45% goes to chicken, 20% to pork, and 7% for meat production, 5% to other uses. But I would like to point that Brazil was a food exporter, importer, I mean, 10 years ago, and today we are now exporting about 30 million tons of corn per year. So that was a big change that was made by using adapted technology to the tropical environment and the use of modern technology and innovation. This is very important, not only to develop these technologies, but to invest in trained and capable people to bring this changes in the field. And I also would like to mention that the entrepreneurship of Brazilian farmers were very important in bringing out these changes that happened in Brazil in terms of food production. Now we have a very intensive production system in Brazil, and I quickly point that one big change is that we are having no tillage systems, cropping rotating system, and crop succession system, and we developed a second growing season. For instance, if you grow only soybeans in a field during the rainy season, your soils will be occupied only 42% of the time. But if you grow corn, your soils will be occupied by 50% of the time. But if you grow soybeans, if you plant soybeans during the rainy season, and then if you grow corn right after harvesting your soybean, you occupy your soils by 80% of the time. But now Brazil is investing in a system where you grow soybeans, and then you harvest your soybeans, you grow corn in consortium with a brachiaria or some kind of grass, and then you can use your soils by 92% of the soils. So you see, this is a much better use of your natural resources, your major resource, which is the soil that you grow your crops. I mentioned that a second crop appeared in Brazil during the 80s. You see the bars with the yellow bars mean that it's a the rainy season growing of corn, and the red bar means that the second corn grow. So you see that the red bar is becoming you know, more important than the yellow one. So we are now in a system where we grow more corn during our second season than during the rainy season, using short season varieties of both soybeans and corn. So this is how it goes here in Brazil, the safrinha, the second crop. You said this corn planting machine here on your left is planting corn over, corn over, left over by the machine that is harvesting soybeans. So we are doing this, the two operations at the same time. So we can better use soil moisture. So we are harvesting soybeans, and that was planted during the rainy season, and immediately growing or planting corn over the corn stover. And this picture here, you know, these bars here, the green and the yellow bars, are mean to say that we are now using shorter season crops so we can make better use of the soil and of the rainfall and the water that is stored in the soil. Okay, we said that insect pests are very important problems for the farmers in the tropics, more so than in the temperate environments. But it's not only feasible to get good production, good yields, and if you invest only in insect control, you have to invest in several fields, in several technologies, so you can really increase crop production. And you do this using new technology, develop new technology, training and capacitating people, and developing a legal basis for this, a legal framework for the use of these technologies. Regulation rules has to be put in place for the use of fertilizer, herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, including transgenic materials. So Brazil also developed these policies, this legal framework to bring about these changes that we were able to do over the last few years. In terms of genetics, I said that 40 years ago our crop varieties were very low yielding. Today we have extremely good varieties, genetics, and this was done by not only by Embrapa, but the private sector, by the universities, and by the, you know, the seed companies. And they introduced it in Brazil in 2006 transgenic crops, and this was a major change, a major breakthrough for the control of fowl armyworm. I'm not saying that there's a single silver bullet to control fowl armyworm in the tropics, because resistance will be developed and you have to use several of the technologies that Joe Hissing mentioned to you, so you can cope with the problem of resistance for any of these technologies that are available, you know, transgenic, agrochemicals, and biologicals. Okay. Another big thing that happened in Brazil was the adoption of the no-tillage system and crop rotation. This is very important because at the end of the growing season, you have very low water in the soil. So growing your, planting your soybean or your corn over the stover that was left over from previous crop is very important. So the no-tillage system in Brazil occupies about 32 million hectares of land in Brazil. And this is a major change. This has to be done if you're looking for good yields, and it's possible to do I'm not saying that it's easy to do if your soils are too dry, but this is the way that you have to go in order to have good yields in the tropics. Another major recent changes in Brazil is that we are not only rotating corn and soybeans. We are introducing trees in our system. And in this picture, you will see trees in the back, soybeans, and corn. And this machine here is harvesting corn that was sown or cultivated with brachiaria. It's harvesting corn, and you see the brachiaria is left behind, and you can feed your cows or your bulls here for 3 months. You can fatten them, and you have another source of income along with the trees. And after you use this brachiaria for 3 months, you can desiccate it with a herbicide, and then you have the stover for growing the next crop. Okay. Here's the picture where we have, the corn planting, the soybean harvest, and then what happened, you see the brachiaria is left in the field. We have the green bridge. The green bridge is a solution, but is also a problem because the fall armyworm will feed on the brachiaria, and you have to control fall armyworm and on this brachiaria. So before you go for the next crop, you have to desiccate it and use some kind of protection against fall armyworm. It can be either a chemical or a biological insecticide. But yes, you can see this is a very intensive use of the soil. This is about what I would like to tell you this time, and I thank you very much for your attention, and I hope that the information that I pass on to you will be helpful to your country. Thank you very much.
Great. We want to thank you, Dr. Antonio, for your presentation and for highlighting the transformation that's taking place in Brazil. Just to highlight a couple of things that he said, dealing with fall armyworm in the tropics is something that Brazil has done effectively, and it's happened through the use of several technologies, and I think Dr. Joe Husing highlighted those technologies and talked about
yes.
the importance of an integrated pest management concept. I want to bring this back to the fact that Brazil's transformation came about because they opened the door for the right policies in place and the private sector investment and research that followed. We're going to move on from here onto some questions and answers.